BBC World Service. Now we come to Off the Shelf, and we continue with the racy life story of the great jazz singer Billie Holiday, as told by those who knew her. Julia Blackburn reads from her new biography, With Billie.
Didn't even think of trying to be a mighty social lion, sipping tea if you will be my mother's son-in-law.
Ruby Helena was a dancer and entertainer. She got to know Billie and her mother, Sadie, when she stayed with them in an apartment on 99th Street in Harlem in either 1939 or 1940. Billie used to refer to her as my half-sister, while Sadie spoke of her as my other daughter. Ruby Helena said that when Billie was released from jail in 1929, Sadie had found her a room in a reefer pad just off 7th Avenue.
A reefer pad was just a room lined with couches and with dull lights, red, sometimes a blue light or a green one. You could hardly see the person sitting next to you.
There were low tables and music playing on a gramophone, or perhaps someone was busy on the keys of an old piano. Bootleg whiskey was sold by the tumbler, and ready-made reefers were sold by the stick at $2 or more. There were always girls there, ready to dance and entertain. They usually danced in short costumes, but some of them were a little bashful and preferred long dresses with a slit up the front. The rich white people who had come here to see some spice would be sitting at the tables, listening to the music, smoking, drinking, watching what was going on. And then a man, or it might be his female companion, would place some money on the table, and the trick was for one of the girls to pick it up with her vagina. People said that Billie was called too cute because she refused to do dancing work in the reefer pad where she was staying. And Ruby Helena said that when she wouldn't go to such places to sing, people complained about her being high and mighty. According to Ruby Helena's version of things, this was why Billie was given the name Lady Day.
She was a person with a lot of pride. There could have been something inside of her. Some decency.
Ruby Helena remembered meeting Billie for the first time at Ginny Lee's restaurant behind the Apollo Theater on 125th Street. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning, and Billie was there with a group of friends. She suddenly turned to this new stranger and announced,
I don't want them to take me home. I want you to take me home.
And so that was decided, and they turned up together at the apartment Billie was sharing with her mother. Ruby Helena stayed for what was left of the night, and the next day drove Billie to a recording studio and then went home. They didn't see each other again until they met by chance, when Ruby Helena was working at a club somewhere out of town, and Billie happened to turn up and agreed to be the special artist for the night. When Ruby Helena got back to New York, she discovered she'd been thrown out of her rented room, and that the suitcase in which she kept all her money had been stolen. She contacted Billie, who said,
Well, that's just wonderful. You can come on down and stay with us.
Ruby Helena was immediately swept into this family of two women who behaved towards each other as if they were sisters rather than mother and daughter. She planned to be there with them for a week, but it turned out to be 6 months. At this time, Billie was fiercely protective of her mother, promising that she would never, ever leave her and would always be there to look after her. Although she went out a lot, she never failed to tell Sadie exactly who she had been with, at what time she had dinner, and all the things that happened next. But it seems that Sadie was not at all happy with how things were going. In spite of the fact that Sadie had done so little to care for her daughter and protect her from the dangers of the world, Sadie now felt that Billie was neglecting her and failing in her duties. According to Ruby Helena, Sadie never wanted Billie to be close to a man, and did everything she could to stop her daughter from becoming attached to any of the men she spent time with. Billie was forbidden to invite a man to stay the night, although Sadie apparently encouraged her to bring women back to the apartment. And so Billie would often come home with different girls, white girls mostly, society girls, and in the morning they would all get up and have breakfast together. Some of these women were regular visitors. It was at this time that Billie earned the name of Mr. Holiday and took to introducing herself as William or Bill, especially when she was meeting a new woman. Later, she told her pianist, Carl Drinkard, that she did go with women,
but I was always the man.
But there were men in Billy's life as well, lots of them. For a while there was Clark Monroe, who had a club called the Uptown House, and then she set her heart on his brother, Jimmy. When Billy first met Jimmy Monroe, he was married to an actress called Nina McKinney, but he was also running two or three other women as well. Sadie hated Jimmy Monroe.
Billy was always very devoted to her mother, very devoted, and all of a sudden she started directing her affection towards Jimmy. Sadie thought Billy was giving him too much attention and neglecting her attention to her mother.
Sadie became obsessed with the idea that Jimmy had pulled Billy with drugs. She finally confronted Jimmy and said she didn't want him coming around there. Ruby Helena was in the apartment on the morning Billy came back, having been out all night without phoning her mother to tell her where she was or what she was doing. When Sadie began to scream at her, Billy produced a sheet of paper that she flung down on the table. It was a marriage certificate.
We're married. So can he come in now?
Shortly after this confrontation, Billy moved out with her new husband, leaving her mother abandoned and weeping. Less than a year after the marriage, Jimmy Monroe went to California and, according to Ruby Helena, took most of Billy's money with him.
You told me that I was like an angel. Told me I would fit to wear a crown. So that you could get a thrill, you put me on a pedestal and then you let me down. Let me down. You told me that I'd be wearing diamonds. I would have the smartest car in town. Made me think that I'm the top, and then you let the ladder drop. You know you let me down. Let me down.
Racial discrimination eased a bit during the 1930s, and cases of public lynching had almost entirely ceased by 1940. Although, as one more cynical commentator pointed out, countless Negroes are lynched yearly, but their disappearance is shrouded in mystery, for they are dispatched quietly and without general knowledge. Billie Holiday had never personally witnessed a lynching, but of course she could imagine what it would be like, and she must have spoken to many people with first-hand experience. In 1938, Billy joined Artie Shaw's all-white band and went on tour with them. It meant she was often refused entry to the hotels where the other musicians were staying, couldn't eat with them in restaurants or drink with them in bars, and in the South she was turned into a fugitive, not even able to use public toilets and always ready to hide from danger. It was during this tour that she had one of many violent and potentially dangerous confrontations when a man in the audience asked the wench to sing another song. Artie Shaw later described the whole Southern experience as a nightmare from beginning to end. When the band came back to New York City, they played at the Lincoln Hotel, and even there, in an establishment named after the president who had proclaimed the equality of all Americans, Billy was treated like a second-class citizen. Billy gave up in disgust and went to work at a newly opened club called Cafe Society. It was run by Barney Josephson, a Jewish ex-shoe salesman who wanted a place where a black and white audience could mix together with dignity and mutual respect. Billy liked the atmosphere and stayed there for 9 months. In April 1939, a young Jewish schoolteacher called Abel Meeropol was invited to Cafe Society. He had written a song called Strange Fruit, which was his response to a photograph he had seen of a lynching. Josephson wanted Billy to sing it, and so Meeropol sat down at the piano with her, and they went through the song together. Meeropol said that the next time he saw Billy was a few days later at the opening night of Cafe Society, on the 30th of December, 1939.
She gave a startling, most dramatic, and effective interpretation of the song, which could jolt the audience out of its complacency anywhere. No, this was exactly what I wanted the song to do, and why I wrote it. Billie Holiday's styling fulfilled the bitterness and the shocking quality I had hoped the song would have. And the audience gave a tremendous ovation.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves
and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
People started to come to Cafe Society just to hear that one song. And for the rest of her life, Billy sang it all round America and in Europe. She even had a clause put into some of her contracts, allowing her to sing it in those clubs where they would have preferred her to stick to happy and unhappy love songs. Her pianist, Mal Waldron, said she often chose to sing it to give herself courage when she felt under threat. Billy always claimed that Strange Fruit was one of the reasons why she was hounded so fiercely by the Federal Bureau of Narcotics and the FBI. For the record producer Ahmet Ertegun, it was a declaration of war, the beginning of the civil rights movement. Although Columbia Records had a contract with Billy at the time, they would not agree to do a recording of Strange Fruit, although they did give her permission to record it on the Commodore label, with Fine and Mellow on the other side. The record was produced by Milt Gabler in April 1939. It quickly rose to number 16 in the charts, and eventually sold more than 1 million copies. In that same year, copies of the record were sent to all the members of the U.S. Senate as a form of protest against lynching. There is a film sequence of Billy singing Strange Fruit at the Chelsea Palace Studios in London in February 1959. By then, she has become painfully thin, and the dress she wears is stretched over the angular scaffolding of her bones. She looks austere and beautiful, and her face has taken on the abstract iconography of a mask. She sings very slowly, giving full weight to the power of each word, allowing the images to grow in their terrible intensity.
Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain together, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rock, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter cry.
Julia Blackburn was reading from her recent book With Billy. Ruby Helena was played by Kate Harper, Abel Mirapol by Rashan Stone, and Billie Holiday by Ali Parsons. It was abridged and produced by Emma Harding.